This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You're on Saturday Magazine. This is Fiona. I'm here with Paul and Dylan. We are holding the fort down with because Macca and Tass are away. And on the line, we have the lovely Dean Smith from Perth. Welcome to the show, Dean.
It's good to be with you again.
Thank you so much for taking the time out early in the morning. I know you're an early riser, but I do appreciate you taking the time out to chat with us. And there's so much to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about. That's right. Don't hold back.
Now, I think it's been how many weeks since the Liberal spill?
It has probably been about 3 or 4 now. I think.
Yeah,
I prefer Fiona not to count the days exactly.
Well, I was thinking it was about 4 weeks, and it's been a lot has happened in that 4 weeks, and I wonder if you would like to share your reflections on the outcome.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, so these things are never easy and they're not pleasant, and people would have heard those comments made by many people over the last 4 weeks. But speaking frankly, these things are emotionally exhausting. You do lose a bit of focus because it all becomes about the party and the leadership of the party. For someone like me, it's important to always get back to Western Australia after these sorts of things because it does ground me and it sort of keeps in focus for me those issues that are really, really important. But it was a tumultuous event. It's now behind us. I think the outcome has surprised people, but irrespective of what people's views might have been about or are about Prime Minister Morrison, as we say now, he's down to business. We've seen the Aged Care Royal Commission. We've seen a variety of other initiatives. So it's back to business. But these things extract a high transactional cost personally, but of course for the party and for the government. There can be no denying that.
Dean, hi, good morning. It's Paul here.
G'day, Paul.
We obviously want to try and unpack the events because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since all this happened. I was really keen to understand what is the atmosphere actually like at the moment in the Liberal Party in Canberra? What is going on there?
It's definitely much improved last week than it was over the 3 weeks previous to that. But I think there's a very strong appreciation that in order to make ourselves competitive for the next federal election, and in my mind and for other Liberals out there, the choice between alternative government led by Bill Shorten and a coalition government led by Scott Morrison will get sharper. The differentiation will be starker as we get closer to the federal election, which is due, as late as May next year. So the atmosphere is on the improve. It is back to business now, and that's just not cheap rhetoric. You can see that in the focus that Morrison is now bringing to issues like aged care. We've heard some speculation about improvements to small business taxation. We saw the schools funding. So there's you can't indulge yourself with activities like we did over the last 4 years ago, and not resile to really get back to business very, very quickly, because there are some big issues. There are some very, very big issues that are confronting the government, and they'll confront Scott Morrison, and they will confront Bill Shorten should he win the next election. So, it is somber because these things are deeply personal for people. People establish personal relationships in Parliament amongst their colleagues, as well as professional or political ones, and it was very, very robust couple of days. Now, normally what happens is that leadership tensions might build over a longer period of time. So people have an opportunity to build their own narrative. The party has an opportunity to build a narrative around the change. But of course, things happen very quickly. Things happen very, very quickly. So that made it additionally bruising because the opportunity to process these sorts of things was not there in the same way that it might have been under previous leadership issues.
So Dean, that's a really valid point. We want to talk about voting and who voted for what, particularly around yourself in a second. But before we come on to that killer question, decisions were made very quickly. And obviously there have been claims of bullying by several women parliamentarians that seem to be substantiated and then almost brushed under the carpet. Now, how on earth has all those accusations been made and yet nothing's been done about actually facing into them and trying to discuss them in a positive way?
Yes, people were silenced awfully quickly, I thought.
I'm what we call a deputy whip in the Senate. So part of my job is to count the votes in the Senate, sort of assist the chief whip with the proper and effective management of the Senate. And with that comes a quasi-pastoral care responsibility. So I'm particularly alert to these things.
So was there any pastoral care going on with these people during the spell?
I would not call it bullying, but I'm not close to those things. I kept a very, very private counsel during that whole leadership dispute because I didn't think there was much good could come from it. And for someone who has a very strong and clear voice like myself, people will be surprised that I kept it very, very still over those weeks and following weeks, because I just don't think a lot is achieved by regurgitating these sorts of issues. Do I think, and this is what I said in a previous form, do I think that people should be very, very or more conscious of their behaviour all the time? I absolutely do that. I absolutely do think that people need to be much, much more conscious of their behaviour and much more conscious of the tone in which they prosecute their arguments. Now, I did not see any bullying. Of course, I wasn't involved in any bullying. But it really is up to those people who've made those accusations to use the appropriate channels. Morrison has said there are channels available to people, and it's up to them to use that.
And do you think parliamentary privilege is one of those channels, Dean?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Parliamentary privilege is a very, very long-established, very, very important right that exists for parliamentarians to be able to go into the parliament and make comments about a whole range of issues without having to moderate their comments because of possible court action and that sort of thing. So Parliament absolutely is the right place for people to sort of go and always the Liberal Party, like every other political party, should be very, very alert to its behaviour, because its behaviour sends a signal to people about what sort of party it might choose to be in government. Mm.
And Dean, I'd love to ask you about your opinions on quotas, because clearly there has been the ruckus past few weeks has turned up a lot of other situations other than just the leadership issue. Obviously, there's been a lot of women who have spoken out, as they should. There's for and against with quotas. Quotas are very well recognised in the corporate world as actually being extremely beneficial. So I'd like to know, what do you think about quotas?
Yeah, well, this is really interesting, because let me just do I think that the Liberal Party needs to be doing more to attract women to its parliamentary ranks? Absolutely. No question about that. So the debate about quotas versus targets, etc., is not an opportunity to avoid that very, very obvious issue. The second point that I'd make, Fiona, is that we've got 4 openly gay members of the parliamentary Liberal Party without quotas. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone said, we're going to have our target is going to be 1 gay man or 2 gay people, we've well and truly exceeded that. Senator Hume, who's a great senator, Liberal Party senator from Victoria, who you probably know, were talking about this during the week, and she had a very powerful statement. And I concur with this. She said that quotas are a Labor solution to what is a Liberal problem. And what I mean by that is that while it does look obvious when you look at the Labor Party, or as you've cited, when you look at corporate Australia, people can see that quotas work. But you've got to have mechanisms that align with the particular values of your organisation. Now, Liberals would prefer, and remember, we had a stellar outcome in the 1996 federal election. Tremendous number of good women elected to Parliament without quotas. So my first question when I talk about this with colleagues is how did we go from a very, very good outcome at the 1996 election, lots of women elected to Parliament under the leadership of John Howard, to find ourselves in the position that we're in now? Mm. So clearly, clearly there has to be a debate, and that debate is ongoing. Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable with quotas. The other thing I would say, though, is that For me, the debate and discussion about women in the Liberal Party is actually a debate about diversity in the Liberal Party.
Without doubt.
Now, this is very, very important because we want political... I argue that we want political parties to be representative of the people that they represent. And going back to Howard, one of Howard's great strengths was that when he was Prime Minister, he could look into the Liberal Party party room and see a microcosm of the Australian community. He could see small business people. He could see a suburban lawyer. He could see a whole range of different sorts of people. Now, so for me, the debate about more women is a debate about people of LGBTIQ people feeling more comfortable to put their hand up and have a contest and run for the Liberal Party. It's about, and when we talk about women, let's be careful about this, because I think it's different sorts of women that we want. We don't want one particular type of woman. We want women who can bring their own experiences.
Well, I mean, there's obviously highly qualified women out there, and encouraging them to go into politics obviously is, you know, there aren't many reasons why you'd want to go into politics when you've seen how women have been treated in general. I mean, we do have a message from one of our listeners who's actually just talked about Dr. Phelps and her chances in Wentworth. Our listener says she surprised many people by announcing her preferences for the Liberal Party. Is this a smart political move, or is she a sellout to her independent status? It's going to be a very interesting campaign. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a little unfair, because under a compulsory voting system, you have to allocate your preferences somewhere, because otherwise voters' votes are informal. So it's the system requires... the system requires candidates to make these sorts of choices. So that's a little... I think that's probably a very romantic view, but when you match it up against how the system actually works, it is important. And in our system, you've got to choose ultimately between one or two parties.
So, Dean, I'm just going to interject you there. We're running out of time, but talking about having to choose someone in an election when you've got a choice of two votes.
Yes,
we're very keen. We said to Macca, we couldn't not ask the question. We'd like to know who you voted for and why.
Oh, you know, I'm on the public record as doing two things. One, supporting a spill motion, and secondly, supporting Peter Dutton over Scott Morrison. That will be a surprise to many of your listeners. I absolutely understand that. But these issues, it's a matrix of consideration. So for me, a couple of things were important. I know Peter, and I've had to deal with him on a variety of issues, and he's always been very, very pleasant to me as a person, and that's important. Secondly, his office and his people, particularly on immigration issues, and I do a lot in that space for constituents in Western Australia, have always been very, very available and supportive in getting good outcomes. Peter had won his seat of Dixon many, many times, and one of the reasons I was nervous about Malcolm Turnbull's leadership is that I thought we were losing campaign focus, and I wasn't convinced that future election campaigns would be strident enough, would have enough energy in them. And Peter struck me as someone who would bring a very sharp campaign focus to the campaign. Most importantly, and I think this is a point that has been overlooked by many, many people, yes, he designed the postal survey, and yes, I was staunchly opposed to that. But when the unamended marriage bill went before the House of Representatives, Peter Dutton voted yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Alternative choices for me, abstained.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very comfortable with the decision that that I took. Everyone wants to back a winner. Everyone wants to back a winner, and on this case I didn't, but I stand by my decision. And,
I mean, the thing with Scott Morrison is that he has clearly said he's going to govern for all people, but he has clearly shown that he's not going to govern for all people necessarily in some of the actions. I mean, I certainly agree that the Aged Care Royal Commission is an incredible initiative, and that is fantastic. But there's so many other aspects that seem to not allow for diversity that, in a way that we feel is suitable.
And examples of that, Dean, supporting safe schools, gay conversion therapy, religious freedoms, all of those are quite narrow topics that he's taken a view on that don't represent the views of all Australians.
Well, I think the first test in this area is the Religious Freedoms Inquiry. And my position is very, very clear on this. There will be no winding back of same-sex marriage laws in Australia. We can be very confident of that. That's the first point. The second point is that there can be no winding back of anti-discrimination laws as they relate to LGBTI people for a number of reasons, the most powerful being the fact that the postal survey made it very clear that Australians do not support that. So I will not be supporting any winding back of anti-discrimination laws, and I'd be very surprised if the government does. I'd be very, very surprised if the government does that. Secondly, ideas have to, and we know this from the experience of the same-sex marriage issue, ideas need to make themselves, need to put into laws. Yep. Unacceptable laws are just not going to pass the House of Representatives, and they most definitely will not pass the Senate. So I say to people, that is probably the first test. That is probably the first test.
Well, Dean, I don't know if we're going to be able to get around to the second test, because we have actually run almost out of time. We have quite a number of questions from listeners that I don't think we will even get to as well. And we certainly would love to have more time with you, but I think we have to wrap it.
Yeah, Dean, please, can you give us a shout when you're back in Victoria? We'd love to get you back in the studio for a longer conversation.
And you've been very generous with me over the years, and thank you very much. And I'm always happy to sort of defend my positions, as you know, for sure.
Thanks for joining us, Dean.
Thanks, guys.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.